Glory to God. Amen. Well, we're going to just take a little time this morning, and want to share a few things that are in my heart here this morning on the subject of faith. And I believe it'll help. You know, you can go through and read it and read it, and we need to feed on the Word of God where this is concerned. Reverend Kevins shared something. He said, as many places that we go, he said, the biggest thing that they see is people talking and saying they have faith, but it's really just it's not a revelation faith. It's people talk, say, I got faith. And in some ways, you know that they don't. They're just talking faith, but it's not really faith. And so the more we teach on the subject, we don't want to get in the ditch in it, but there are times that we need to go back and feed upon it, feed on God's word, where the subject of faith is concerned. And we grow thereby. Amen? And you become more successful and victorious in life. I'm going to start in a minute. I'm just kind of motoring along here. But we were impressed. I don't think we announced it. Maybe Pastor Greg did. We were impressed to have this young girl who's going into her fourth year at Rhema this year. They used to be members here many years ago. And some of you may remember her. Some of you may not. The Warwick family, Ken and Ada Warwick, they used to work in the bookstore. And I have a little girl at the time, Jessica. And Jessica had, and I don't know all of the medical significance of it, but she had type 1 diabetes, and in a child, that can be fatal. And they didn't give her much time. And I remember, Pastor Greg doesn't, but I remember her wearing a pump. She had to wear a pump, and she had to inject herself with insulin and so forth. And we were impressed, and I was really thrilled to hear the direction that they went with the youth yesterday, because they had a Rhema, R-M-A-I, youth camp kind of a reunion thing. So they had about 100 youth, and I stopped in after I got back from the airport, just spent an hour or so just kind of hanging here. But wanted to see her before she had a 3 o'clock departure here. So I wanted to just see her before she left. And I was thrilled because that was my heart. Both of us said, she needs to give her testimony. And we really desired that she would stay over Sunday and share it. But she needed to get back to school. She's in class, and so she had to get out of here and back home and be back in class tomorrow. But she had, I mean, her organs were failing. Kidneys, pancreas. And when she was at Rhema in her first few years, she attended prayer and healing school every day for 2 years. Every day, every day, every day, not someday, every day for 2 years. And when we were out at camp meeting this year, because we shared with her dad, he's one of the hosts out there, and we said, Ken, you know, we really would like to bring Jessica out and have her share and to see how the Lord used her, but we really would like to have her give her testimony. And he said, you know, it's really thrilling. He said she doesn't use her pump anymore, and her organs just start working. They're just working. You don't just have organs just start to work unless you're putting the Word of God in there. And her pancreas are working. Her kidneys are working. And she's not using insulin anymore. And so I'm telling you, With God, all things are possible. And I'll tell you, blessed me, this little girl, this young girl, she's in her 20s. She looks like she's one of the teens, but she's a little firecracker. And it blessed me. And we're going to have her back at some point just to give that testimony. I'm telling you, it's a powerful testimony. Her organs are working. And her dad said, there's just a little bit left, but it's going. It's gone. Normal. 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 But she parked herself diligently in prayer and healing school every day and fed on the Word of God. Put herself, and I'll say it another way, also put herself in that atmosphere. You know, we can put ourselves in atmospheres. You know that. You can put yourself in the stomach turns atmosphere, soap opera atmosphere. Or you can put yourself in God's presence and His atmosphere and feed and feed and feed, and the Word will eventually drive out a symptom. And this is what Reverend Annie was sharing up at Pennsylvania. You know, the Lord gave her an analogy of a GPS. And she said, with God, God is now. He's always present. He's in your future. So when you get there, He's already there. So she was saying, just like a GPS, when we set the destination, she said, you know, I like to look at it. It has an ETA. I look at it. What's our estimated time of arrival? But some of us are more concerned about the ETA than the destination. And we look at it and say, oh, man, it's taken too long to get to this destination. We must be on the wrong road. So we change our destination. And she said, but with God, we need to be more focused on the destination, not the time it takes. Because even in the natural, your ETA can change based on what? Based on what? Traffic and circumstances. So we need to be focused on the destination. If it's healing, who cares how long it takes to get to the destination? Because the destination is sure with God. It's settled. It's yea and amen. And so I was you know, all of those things came flooding back in my thinking about Jessica. She stayed steady. Whether it took a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it took, she took the Word of God every day. So no matter what your situation is, it may look impossible, but with God, that destination is sure if you'll stay with it. See, and it'll change, whatever that is. Whether it's your finances, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your health, it will come to pass. If you don't get off the road. Does that make sense to anybody? See, I hope so, because it helps me. You know, we all have destinations that we're going towards, right? And your mind can tell you, you ain't getting there. You're on the wrong road. You're going the wrong way. This ain't right. It's taking too long. And you just got to say, shut up. I heard from God, And even if you didn't hear him personally say something to you, he's spoken to each and every one of us right here. And if he said it in here, it's settled. See? I just feel I was receiving the offering the last night, and this word came up in my heart. And, you know, there's certain scriptures that we read where love offerings are concerned and so forth. But I kept hearing the word opportunity. And I thought, let me run a reference on that, because I know a few. But I believe I heard in my heart this was concerning them, and it concerns us. Your need is already provided. It's already provided. But God creates opportunities for us to do something so that things be multiplied and added to us. So when it comes to giving, now, we're not talking about your tithe, because that's something that you're supposed to do. But when there are opportunities to sow into people's lives, whether it's money, time, that's why I say, you know, when people say, well, let me pray about helping. Why you need to pray? I'm creating an opportunity for you to do something, so that you can be blessed. But our need is already met. We're going to do this thing. We're taking a step of faith, and we're getting there. We're going. But we're creating opportunities for you to do what? Do something. And I was thinking about this scripture. In Galatians 6, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And then down in verse 10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Blah, blah, and it goes on. But then in Philippians chapter 4, when Paul is writing to the Philippians, in verse 10, he said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. See? So sometimes when we have opportunities, I'm not saying you shouldn't be prayerful about them, because we all have responsibilities, but there are opportunities for you to do what? Do something so that God can bless you. Amen. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be given unto you. So as we give, as we have opportunities, we're to do that. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know that this might have been something for them up there. But when I think about we want things to change in our life, there are opportunities that we have. And sometimes we kind of gloss over them. Is that not true? And we don't take advantage of those opportunities, so that things can be multiplied in our life and changed. Amen. I hope that helped a little bit. For the few that said amen, praise the Lord. The rest of you will have me stand and wake up. You know, Brother Hagin used to say this, the things you get excited about are the things that work for you. When you're not excited, you may want to go back and check that. When something's working in your life, are you sad or glad? You're glad. So when you ho-hum and say, yeah, I know that, you may want to go back and see, is it really working? Or you're just saying it is work, hoping that it's work. Oh, well, maybe we'll go to the lesson today. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you. You may want to reset this clock up there because I just meandered around here for 10 or 15 minutes. So reset that. So reset that to about 20 minutes and it'll be fine. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it's forever settled in heaven. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus who came here in the likeness of flesh, sinful flesh, and for us. Thank you that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we thank you that the Word is forever settled in heaven. And we thank you, Father, that as we listen to your word, we open our hearts. We thank you that our minds are being renewed to the word of God. Our hearts are receiving additional deposits of your word, the grace of God. And we thank you that we will go more blessed, more strengthened, more encouraged than when we came in Jesus' name. And we look to you, Holy Spirit, for direction. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, let's read John 3:16. Let's do that, if we would. Let's read that together out loud. John 3:16, 17, and 18. Faith comes by hearing. So that's why we read it out loud. Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing the word of God. It'll change you, change your mind, change how you see things, how you think. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over. I wanted to just touch on something a little foundational. You can write this down if you would. Turn over to Titus chapter 1 and look at verse 2. And I'll read the other references to that. Titus. Chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised when? Before the world began. Hallelujah. So here we see that God cannot lie. And this is also in Malachi 3:6. You know that particular verse. It says, for I am the Lord, I change not. So he cannot lie. He is, what does John say? I am the way, the truth. He is truth. So he cannot lie. And Numbers also, Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? He cannot lie. What he said will come to pass. He will do it. So that's important where faith is concerned, I was thinking as I was sitting over there a few minutes ago, the word foundation, I kept hearing the word foundation. And foundation is important because if the foundation is a little shaky, how can you put your trust in that? How can you build upon that? It's kind of hard, isn't it? I'm just going to pull this up here. I was thinking about it when that word foundation came up. And this is in reference to this particular ministry. Some of you may have heard this. Most of you have. Kenneth Copeland shared this particular prophecy to physically to Pastor Sarah, but it was for both Pastor Clinton and Sarah. They were both there. He didn't happen to be in the meeting that morning when he spoke it, but I'm going to pull out one sentence here. He said, your ministry, the thing that God has called you and pastor to do, is just now completed its base and foundation. Now, this was in 2003. This is 23 years after the beginning of the ministry. You think, really? It's just finished the foundation? And then he began to explain. He said, just now. I mean, all the years that it's taken. But, this is the Lord saying this, but the reason it takes a long time to build some foundations is because of the size of what it's going to have to hold up. And I'll stop there. Because foundations are key. Your life has to be built upon what? A solid foundation. Right? And we know that God, who promised, cannot lie. That's pretty solid, isn't it? He cannot lie. So I can have faith in God that he won't lie to me. That what he said, he will do it. And let me just flip over here because I'm thinking of another particular scripture here. This is in Luke, chapter 6. It says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? This is Luke 6:46. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged down deep and did what? And laid a what? A foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, couldn't shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Then it goes on to talk about what happens when you don't. But this foundation is sure. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but what? My word shall not. They'll never pass away. So we can trust the word of God. And so often, you know, I was just sharing some lessons on the honor of God. When you don't honor God and his things, he esteems you lightly. So what does that mean? We need to honor his word. Honor him, honor his word. They're one and the same. And when we do, we can expect some results. I like the, I have that particular scripture. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For a minute, just kind of just jump over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And you're familiar with this. I'm going to read it in the King James, but I love the Message translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea. That's what the King James says. That means yes, right? In him, or yes, and in him, amen. So be it.
unto the glory of God by us. This is the message. It says, whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, I love that. Whatever's been promised by God gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. So we can trust the Word of God. So when we come up with something that's impossible, we also have the scripture that says all things are possible to him that what? Believeth. So we got to believe, right? We have to believe that what he said is yes. It'll come to pass. So when we're faced with, and we all are, we're all faced with things in life that seem impossible. They're not going to happen. Somebody may tell you, you ain't never going to have that. You will never have that. Or it's not possible. A doctor could tell you, it's not possible. But the Word of God will change something. I remember in the situation where Pastor Clinton had a dissecting aneurysm. That's deadly. That'll kill you right on the spot. Boom, doom, dead. You fall on the floor dead. And spirit of faith came upon him, and he spoke to it. And they tell me that they could see in x-rays, they could see a little bit of that seemed that, you know, what God supernaturally fixed. See? So things that are impossible are possible because we have a God that cannot lie, and what he said, he will do. Amen. And we have what? We have a God that's now. He's not only omniscient, but He's all knowing, but he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's in your past, he's in your present, and he's in your future. So we can trust him. He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Now let's turn over, just a second here. When we believe, when we have faith, faith is of the what? The heart. And I'll just remind you, you can turn over to 1 Peter 3:4. And I'll reference this, Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the scripture talks about the spirit of man. And 1 Peter 3:4, it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. So we know this heart, the spirit of man on the inside, is the real you. It's the real person, not this shell. So faith is of the heart. And faith, I like this, you know, we were referencing this before, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I like this. This is the New English Bible. It says, we conclude that faith is awakened by the message. See, every man has been given faith from God when he got born again, but that faith is awakened by the word of God. It's stirred, it's stimulated, and developed, right? So this is the New English. It says, faith is awakened by the message, and the message that awakens it comes through the word of Christ. I like that. Faith stimulates, it awakens. It's awakened by the word of Christ. And then another reference, Romans, you can write this, Romans 7:22, it says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." So Scripture talks about the spirit of man. 1 Peter says the hidden man. And then we have a reference here, the inward man, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. So we're talking about this inward man, the spirit man. He's the real man. He's the real person on the inside of you. So it's important what we put in this inward man. It's important what we deposit in there, because healing, prosperity is going to come from the inward man by the word of God. Amen. Life and death is going to come out of this spirit. Now let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. You get there? Let's read that together. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." Now faith is what? Now. Faith is now. Faith is always not now. It's not going to happen. It's now. Faith is now. Let me ask this question. How many have had experiences where when there's a faith connection, you knew it? You absolutely knew it. There was no doubt in your mind you had this. You weren't one of, you know, wasn't this, "Well, I believe God, I believe God. But there was an absolute knowing. There was an assurance. I've got this. Even though the external looked different, right? Now, we'd like to, you know, this says here, faith is the substance, it's the ground that hope rests on. That's what I was thinking when this said here, substance, ground, foundation, that everything else is built upon. It supports your hope. It supports your expectation. Because you have this foundation, because you have this confidence, you have this assurance, then I expect it to come to pass. Right? But some of us have been, and I include myself in this, there are times that we don't necessarily have an assurance. Would you say amen? You say you do, but it down here in the real man, you know, I'm not making a connection here. Right? There's not an assurance, a confidence. When you're confident, do you question? You say, "Well, I don't know, maybe, you know." There's no question. There's no doubt. You're absolutely confident it's coming to pass. And there are times that we go through periods of our life where there may be not this assurance. Well, how do you get it? How does one get that assurance? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing till I got assurance. See, and that's sometimes the trap that we fall into, because I'm not saying you shouldn't make a faith confession. You should. Because the more you say it, there'll come a point of a assurance. And it's faith is tangible. Faith is real. Faith has substance. And that's why it's important, when I kept hearing Reverend Annie share that sometimes we look at the time it's taking and it robs your confidence. This is taking too long. Maybe it's not working. Maybe this isn't for me. Maybe. No. See, we can start out in confidence, and because it's taking too long, we think the destination is wrong. No, don't get off the road. Don't let go of it. If you are assured, then stick with that. As they say, spit in the devil's eye. Tell him God has promised. Everything that God has promised is yes. I don't care how long it takes. This money, this finance will change. My body will change. My family will change. I don't care if your kids are running amok for 20 years. They will change. If you don't change your assurance, your confidence, you see, stick with it. Stick with the Word of God. So, this assurance, this ground that our hope, this confident expectation that we have, is based upon this foundation. See, it rests upon that. And I kept thinking about that prophecy that was given, that it took these 20 years to build this foundation because of what it's going to have to support. See, if you build a house, you only need a foundation maybe 3.5, 4 feet, maybe 5, maybe 6 feet. But if I build the World Trade Center, I got to go down maybe 30, 40 stories below ground to support this joker. Right? So God has already told us here, he said, this ministry took this long to build a foundation because what it's going to have to support. And that's why the devil tries so hard to destroy it, destroy the people, destroy Pastor Sarah, destroy things, because God has already said, I've put my hand on it, I started it, and it's taking all these years to build this foundation, because what I'm going to do is way out beyond what you could ask, think, or imagine. Don't be moved just because you don't see a whole lot of pews filled. He said, see, I'll tell you, we didn't collaborate, you know, this whole thing about why they confess in $80,000 a week, blah, blah, blah. You know, we've been doing this for what? I forget now how many years it is, 7, 8, 9 years, whatever it is. But when we first were ordained, I heard down here separately, Pastor Greg heard. We didn't come together and say, hey, you know what? I think we need to do it. No, Pastor Sarah got the same amount. We just happened to be sitting in the office one day and it kind of just bubbled up. Hey, I'm hearing this. And we said, yeah, I heard the same thing. All three of us heard the same thing. So we say, guess what? God is wanting us to obey and release the words, because he's got something planned. How it comes doesn't matter. It's going to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just like anything else, don't be moved by what you see. Be moved by the Word of God. Be moved by what He said. Because what does it say in Hebrews 11:6? It's impossible to please Him without faith. He that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and He is a what? Rewarder. Hallelujah, those that diligently seek Him. And so we're going to keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it and believing it. Hallelujah. So faith is the ground, the substance of things we hope for. It's the evidence. This expectation is the evidence of something I don't see. I like this. I'd invite you, you know, that Mark Hankins has that book, The Spirit-Filled. I'm telling you, if put the money aside and get it. I'm telling you, it's got some wonderful references of translations you don't normally hear. This is from the authentic Bible. It says, now faith forms a solid ground for your expectations. Oh! Faith forms a solid ground for your expectations. The proof of unseen actualities. That which isn't seen, I'll tell you, you can just rest it upon that solid ground. What is that? The Word of God. Hallelujah. It's solid. It's not changing. If you don't, I mean, it's not going to change. But your expectation, you can let go of it. You can let go. You know, when I think about Jessica, how many times she could have just said, it ain't working. She got a year in. She's busy. And it don't look like it's changing. But she kept going to prayer and healing school. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. 2 years, boom! Pancreas are starting to work. Kidneys are starting to work. They don't just start to work. But He is the resurrection and the life, and He can make dead things work. Hallelujah. Woo. He can make dead things. He is life. His word is the word of life. And it can make something dead work. It can take a dead marriage and make it work. It can make a dead family come together with life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's not unhook. Faith is now. Hallelujah. It's the confidence, the substance, the ground on which our hope, our expectations rest upon. Hallelujah. And when you think about this, I just thought about this. I hadn't really thought about it in this way before. But just like small foundation, small building on top. So when your faith doesn't go that deep, your expectations don't go that high. But when you get your faith and your foundation buried deep, then my expectations can be high. I can go after things that maybe a small foundation I can't build upon the same. Do you ever think about that? So the stronger, because, and I'll maybe say it another way. Didn't Jesus in His ministry, He said, O ye of what? Little faith. And then He said to the centurion, He said, great is your faith. Right? So we can have little faith, we can have no faith, and we can have great faith. Hallelujah. I mean, when you look at the woman with the issue of blood, she heard of Jesus, and she muscled her way through just to touch his garment. Amen. So I'm just going to unhook because I don't want to keep any longer. We'll pick up again. This just kind of get started here. But keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding. Keep your eyes on the destination and don't think about how long it's taken to get there. Don't think about it. It matters not how long it takes to get to a destination as long as you know it's promised. Is that right? Don't let go. See, we live in human bodies. We live in this flesh. And that's why it's good to take time and be quiet to refresh, stir up your heart. That's why it helps me sometimes in teaching recently on speaking in other tongues. When I was teaching, just sharing, it helped me. In Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 16, it said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, where? In this inner man, this spirit man. And sometimes what I find is that most of us will start out in faith with a confidence and an assurance, and we get running, and we don't keep ourselves strengthened in the inner man. And what happens is, by not praying in other tongues, you don't keep your inner man strengthened. So what happens is, when you run against opposition, it's taken too long, sometimes this confidence is affected because the inner man becomes weakened. Is that not right? But when he's strengthened, man, it don't matter what it looks like, you're going. You're going through. You're going to stick with it. And it takes keeping this inner man strengthened, which is what Jude says. But said, beloved, building up yourselves on your what? Most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we need to feed on the Word of God. That's constant. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. We feed on it, but we pray in the Holy Ghost, energizing what we deposited. Yeah, you get indigestion, all right. Yeah. Yep. Praise the Lord. Well, let's unhook and get any. I think we got a little something this morning, right? Just get a little something to feed upon. Stir your heart up. Keep feeding on the Word of God. Don't be moved by the time it takes to get to your destination. Just be confident that the destination is correct. By his stripes ye were healed. That's a destination. So forget about the time it takes to get there. The destination has already been settled. It's sure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for feeding us by your word. Thank you for stirring our hearts to press on in this race and not let go in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. And if we have, we're going to pick up, dust off, and press forward in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.